What are you prepared to do?
I'm invincible. Your powers only make me stronger.
So you can't be matched. You can't be controlled.
I'm asking for one last fight.
Da 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 da!
You sound insane. You realize that?
Yeah.
The whole world got crazy.
Are you serious? Ladies and gentlemen,
it's showtime.
It is probably the third Marvel movie of the year of our Lord 2023.
We tried to look it up in both Wikipedia and ChatGPT, which is like question marks back then. Like, we honestly don't know. Yeah.
It's a real Mulroney situation
here. Yeah.
Who could know? It's the Marvels. It is, I don't know what phase of the MCU. I don't know what number of movie and or series this is. And maybe that's part of the problem. But it is it's a new Marvel movie here, a new installment in the MCU, the Marvels. And we here at Mavet Movies, we're here to talk about it. So I'm your host, Brian Gill, joined as always by my illustrious co-hosts, Kent Garrison and Richard Barden. We are recording a day late, and our whole show is on the struggle bus. We're having our health issues and addiction issues, whole lot of weird stuff going on here. But we're so glad to be here. It's always always an event when you get to talk about a Marvel movie, although it's becoming less of an event. So I'm excited to talk this one out with you boys. We're going to get right into it. Let's get right into general. No banter, no fooling around here, Kent, I'm going to go to you first. Give me your general thoughts on the Marvels. And while you're doing that, I will look up and see what number this is in the series and all that good stuff. give me your kind of your overall thoughts and whatnot on this installment of the Captain Marvel universe.
Yeah, overall, have really liked Marvel movies. I can count on one hand the ones I've disliked, and whereas with DC, I can count on one hand the ones I've liked. So they got that going for them. You know, they're in a really interesting spot right now. This movie was announced 4 years ago, and it's just now coming out. So I feel like we've been talking about this one ever since Captain Marvel came out, and it's taken a while. Granted, some things have happened. Some things have been pushed around, shifted around, but here we are, and I think we got to address the elephant in the room right off the top, Brian. This is the lowest grossing MCU movie. For an opening weekend. So I don't know what to make of that. I'm sure that'll be a big part of this discussion about what that means, why that is. But if I'm separating the context of that and just talking about this as a movie, it was fine. It's exactly what they've been doing, you know? It's right up there with the Thor Love and Thunders and the Ant-Mans and the WandaVisions that we talk about, all that stuff. I think the level of quality you expect with a theatrical movie is a lot higher than what we expect with the Disney Plus series, but they've blurred the line between the Disney Plus series and the cinematic stuff that there really is no separation anymore. I don't know whether I'm happy about that or not. I don't know if I want an elevated experience when I go to the theater versus when I'm watching at home, or if I can just watch this, because I could have just watched this at home, right? I did go to the theater, but it doesn't feel like they're doing much more, putting much more money and effort into like the movies than they are the series. And I don't know whether that's, again, a good or a bad thing for the product. But like this cast, like Brie Larson, she's certainly like in the top three or four characters that they have at this point, and which will be a part of this discussion too, is who are like the linchpin characters of the MCU at this point in 2023. And I would probably count her among those. It's just, as I pass it back to you, Brian, it's crazy to think that like Captain Marvel made $1 billion.
Yeah.
And this, with all the like hype and promotion for 4 years, is the lowest grossing one. I never would have expected that.
Mm-hmm.
there's no drop off. It's not like it went from 2 to 3 to 4 and then it's like, yeah. Oh, by 4, it's like, yeah, it really dropped off. It's like immediate $1 billion and then completely dead.
I think that that is indicative of the industry as a whole. It's not just like there are ancillary factors in the Marvels doing poorly at the box office. I think there's lots of little factors, but to your point, like the last one made $1 billion and that was, not that long ago. I mean, I know it's a completely new world than what we were in, but that was 2019. I mean, it's 4 years ago. And this is the returns that we're getting on that. I mean, I think that, I don't know, there's some criticism that we can level at Disney proper, and we will. There's some criticism at we can level at, comic book movies, superhero movies, all that kind of stuff. All those things are valid and play a part in it. I think there's a big chunk of it, too, that's just that, like, the world has changed, and it's going to be a minute. I think we're usually, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, Richard. I want to talk business with you on this stuff. I think we are usually pretty harsh towards the industry because it changes so slowly and poorly and like continually learns the wrong lessons and all this sort of stuff. I do think that we're going to have to be somewhat forgiving of the industry for a bit here because up to 2023... their whole industry is built on these movies, and now it cannot be that way. And there are some of these movies across the not just Marvel but DC and wherever else will get scrapped, because if the money's not there to be made, then they're going to get rid of some of these things. But some of these movies are going to come out and they're not going to do as well as they would have 3 or 4 years ago. And I think we're going to have a little bit of grace with the studios and just be like, yeah, you greenlit that, you put it in even into production on some level when that was obviously the smart thing to do, and now it's not. And so there's going to be a little bit of that. But Richard, where are you at with the financial side of this, the business side of superhero movies in general, and then maybe a little more specifically with the Marvel movies?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors, right? It's like they're inherently cheapened. You know, eventually we would have hit critical mass with these.
Right.
At some point, right? Now, they did some things to, I think, expedite that. First of all, I think we really undervalue to, like, movie nerds or comic book nerds or culture nerds to some extent. We understand that these kind of things are iterative and there's multiverses and there's ways to continue these things on literally for the interest of shareholders of Disney, as long as they can feasibly go on. Mm-hmm. What made Marvel interesting for 10 years is that it had that appeal and satisfied those movie and comic book nerds and just kind of mass culture nerds, but also satisfied this really mass audience that doesn't think like that and doesn't. That's how you have that's the difference between a $300 million movie and a $2 billion movie, is like those people, right? To those people, that ended in Endgame. Like, the whole thing ended in Endgame. And so I think they really undervalued to that audience what that meant. And it's like, mm-hmm. you kind of have to start over again, you know, with a large swath of that audience and build a narrative that people care about. Because what the Marvel movies really became in terms of how people thought of it was like event television. Now, you had to drive somewhere and go see it, but it felt mm-hmm. like every 6 months, there's one episode of this show we're all watching and we're all going to go see it. And there's great effects and there's movie stars and they're fun. And there's this, you know, these kind of intricate small stories per episode, but there's also this other bigger narrative that I want to see how it plays out. So to an audience, it feels just like watching like Breaking Bad, just at a bigger scale. And then I have to get in my car for 7 minutes and sit in a room. Mm-hmm. And then Breaking Bad ends, right? With Endgame essentially. And you don't have, and you can organically build that back with like a Better Call Saul. But if you don't have Iron Man again in your back pocket, I mean, not literally, like something that's that sort of original mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. starts a story again, you kind of start off with these like, right? They had that Spider-Man movie that came out. It was kind of half in the previous story and half not. It was this kind of weird, more, I mean, it wasn't a bad movie, but I just mean what it meant to the macro story was confusing a bit, or didn't seem to move the ball at all forward. It just seemed like, and now there's this epilogue with Spider-Man and he's going to fight some people and it's cool. And there's multiple Spider-Men. So that's cool. And then we'll do a bunch of other multiverse stuff with Doctor Strange. And it none of it was at first like inherently bad. Like I think Quantumania is much worse than those. Maybe not the Doctor Strange one, but like, you know, it was much more of just a CGI fest. And if you weren't into that aesthetic, it could be bad. But they were just kind of, everything all of a sudden felt meandering and meaningless. It did not capture the momentum. We were so used as a mass audience to momentum. Every 6 months, I'm going to take 3 steps forward in this story. And that kind of, that feeling was lost. Whether the movies are good or bad was moot. But if they're bad, it's double bad, you know, because it's like, okay, that was pointless. I do this thing. Marvel taught me to do this thing. I don't do that much. I go to this room. I watch this thing. But it was worth it because I moved 3 steps forward. Now I'm not moving anywhere. I'm not going to do the thing anymore. I've got stuff at home. And then on top of that, they cheapened the entire thing with like, hey, I know you just went through this whole process. I know we're kind of like pussyfooting around a bit in terms of where this story is going to go. It's not really clear yet, but I will say to understand even the little things we're doing, you are going to need to watch 70 hours of television.
Right.
And then that cheapens the idea even more. And like, honestly, I'm really interested, especially with this movie. It's like, I don't think it was necessarily Marvel. Like you could enjoy potentially this movie without all the stuff that's led up to this on television, on streaming. But like the perception that you couldn't is like really, people are just like, people are aware of that stuff more than they think. It's like, I bailed halfway through the Scarlet Witch show and on WandaVision, it was good. I just, whatever. And I can't go see the Marvels cause I'm too, and then you just never get to it. And it's like the momentum of that. So it's like Marvel from 2008 to 2019 was this like 2020 even was this incredible example of how to build momentum, organically and in a mass culture way. And then now it's like, they just have forgotten how to do that or whatever circumstances, not to let them do that or whatever. And it's just like these random movies that kind of have this larger narrative, but some of them are good, some of them are not good. And everyone just seems like they're like, it's fine. I just won't watch those anymore. I'm opting out.
Right.
And you see that a lot with like marketing and things like that. Like think about like email journeys and stuff you've been on, or like customer journeys you've been on as a customer for brands. And it's like when there's momentum and I'm leading towards like a point purchase or, some kind of status on it. But the minute that's like clouded and I feel like I missed something or whatever, it's like, it's fine. I won't even use my card anymore. Like I'm out. It's like a really normal behavioral economic thing. And they have like created that like in tenfold with spending $300 million movie to do these. And now they're suddenly, and it's not good because I'm good if it ended with Endgame. I don't care about this that much. I'm not a comic book person, but like, to your point you mentioned earlier, Brian, like the entire movie business kind of relies on these. They subsidize so much stuff that I do care about. And I'm not saying those 11 years weren't fun.
Sure.
But I was good with the 11 or 12 years. I didn't need 40 years of it. But it does suck where you're going, oh no, like this might all, like literally theaters might close and stuff unless Tom Cruise does Top Gun 3 and saves it again. These are what pay for all the stuff. And unless people like Apple are continually cool losing $200 million on good Scorsese movies, which I don't think companies are going to be, we got to get clever real quick or figure out something else that brings in $1.2 billion every 4.5 months to subsidize everything else.
But I think that is the major factor. It's like,
and that's not Marvel's fault, by the way.
No, it's not more for all of the studios. It's not that there's not going to be movies that pop up and make a ton of money. Barbie, Barbie, Oppenheimer making the money that they did last year. Top Gun, we can go down the list and show examples of films that came out that were expected to do well and then were like behemoths at the box. It's a totally different thing. those are awesome. But not having the predictability of putting out, hey, we have four, we have a, every quarter we've got a movie, maybe not the first quarter, you know, second, third, fourth quarter, and maybe we mix in a fourth one somewhere in there. We've got these movies, they're going to come out. Yes, they cost a just a, an obscene amount of money to make, but they're a guaranteed $650-700 million. You know, we're gonna profit $100 million, $300 million, whatever, out of these movies, and that's gonna keep us going with some of our other movies. It's gonna help us do streaming stuff. It'll allow us to greenlight 10, you know, indie movies that no one's gonna to budget for otherwise. You know, all these sort of things. And it allows, to your point, Richard, it allows theaters to be open. And I think what you said is exactly right. You guys both have touched on some good points. I think it's totally not only reasonable. Like there's a part, as much as I love superhero, I love blockbuster movies and just going to the theater and having a good time. And I had a great time with this, and that's awesome. My kid wants to go and see superhero movies, and that's awesome. You know what I mean? Like I want these things to exist. I also am at a place where I'm like, to your point, Richard, like we've seen a bunch of these. This is, by the way, number 33 in this series.
Bird, Bird.
Over 16 years. I mean, that's a lot of movies. I think it's okay for this kind of era of film to be coming to an end. The problem is I don't know what replaces it. Mm-hmm. And that has got to be, you know, we've had these like, like the concept of you know, are the movies dead? Are theaters dead? Is this over? Has been around for 20 plus years, and it's the same as like the NFL.
So it's VHS. You go back,
right? Exactly. Totally. And I mean, you can go back. It's the same with sports. You can go find issues of Sports Illustrated from the 70s that will tell you that, well, the NFL is about to die, and it is not, and it is not going to, you know, anytime soon. These things do come up from time to time.
As long as there
is
gambling. We will let people die on the field.
Exactly. But the scary thing with for the industry as a whole with this, and again, we're kind of using the Marvel as a bit of sort of cover for that whole genre of film. If there's not something that pops up in its place that props up the theaters, that props up budget at studios and things like that, then it does get real dicey real quick, I think. And I think COVID taught us some of that too, of like how thin the margins are for some of the studios. Now, when you talk about the Zaz makes $500 million a year and stuff like that, like, yeah, sure, like there's cuts that can be made, but we also know how capitalism works, and it's not usually going to be at the top, you know? Yeah. And so that makes it, I think that if you are in the crowd that is like, I hate how Marvel and the rest of these studios have turned the theater industry, the film industry, into a theme park ride every couple of months, and that's all that really matters. I hate that. I'm kind of happy to see these things going, or like full on cheering for it. I totally get it. Also would tell you that it's not a good sign. If you can't replace some of that predictability and that guaranteed money coming through, then it really dramatically changes what gets produced, how much gets produced, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you can also make the case, and I would totally agree, that we need less content. And I think that is a place where we're headed. If you listen to what Iger has said, if you, not just him, but since we're talking to Marvel's movie, I mean, he's been pretty open about like, we got to take down the quantity and raise the quality of the products that we're putting out in theaters and on Disney Plus and whatnot. That seems like, well, duh, you know, but it's a thing that needs to be said, because for so long in the entire streaming industry or streaming era, it's just been pump out content. It doesn't really matter about cost, and it doesn't really matter about quality. That has to change, and that will help things. But Richard brought up a really good point, talked about the shows that are part of this as well. There have been 10 seasons of TV shows on Disney Plus within this universe since 2021. So 2.5 years, I think WandaVision, if I remember, was like it was January of 2021. You got WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki, What If, which you could say that doesn't really qualify here, and I think that's fair. Hawkeye, Moon Knight, Miss Marvel, which is the one that's most relevant to this, obviously. She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, Secret Invasion, Loki season 2 out right now, and then What If season 2 starts in about a month. Next year we've got Echo, Agatha, Darkhold Diaries, and then Ironheart and the Daredevil show are on the docket, but they don't have dates anymore. How much stock do you put in the concept of, Richard talked about it a little bit, this was a hot debate in our Discord, but Kent, how much do you put in terms of like this doing poorly, the concept of like, well, I didn't watch Miss Marvel, or I did watch, but I don't remember what happened or whatever else. And there's just too much content for me to consume. And as a result, I don't know anything about this movie and I'm out. Does that resonate with you? Or does that resonate with, you know, your household or the people in your peer circle or whatever? Or is that kind of overblown? I'm curious your thought, at least anecdotally, on that.
Yeah, I think it's probably, you know, has something to do with just with this movie in particular, why this one didn't succeed. I think this is kind of an outlier. I don't think this is an indicative of Marvel at large. I do think it is what Richard was talking about a little bit earlier with it ended at Endgame for a lot of people. And I do think Spider-Man has that. I think, you know, the next Spider-Man, I think, could make $1 billion. Like, I don't think like Marvel is completely dead. I think it's just certain characters that the mass audience likes. I think Thor is one of those. We know, you know, the world decided we love Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, and we love freaking Captain America. And we love, you know, ancillary characters around it. We love Black Widow. We love some characters around that. And everything else, it's like, you're going to have to convince me. Even with Paul Rudd, as well-liked as Paul Rudd is, he's still at the you're going to have to convince me phase. And it's honestly pretty funny. But with this one, you see the trailer. And I had seen these shows. I had seen WandaVision and Miss Marvel. Mm-hmm. And even I was in the trailer during Mission Impossible going, wait, what? Who is that again? And I watched all the shows. Imagine being somebody that hadn't seen the shows, didn't know what the shows were, didn't know that they were out there, barely remembers Captain Marvel, and now there's these. And with the trailer, it makes Miss Marvel and Rambo feel more important than Captain Marvel in some odd way. Like, you're dumb for not knowing who these people are. And so, yeah, I think this one is kind of an outlier for people that just saw the trailer and said, I don't know what that is, so I'm out. But I do think, like, you know, you roll Chris Evans in a Captain America trailer in front of them, I think most people will be like, all right, I'm back in. So I think that's just kind of where we are. I did go back and do some number crunching. Brian, you touched on it just a little bit there. But you were close. I haven't added in, by the way, Loki season 2 into this. Okay.
Yes.
So I think, or Secret Invasion. Was that what it was called?
Yeah.
But they're, for just the Disney Plus series, 35 hours.
Jeez.
Yeah. That you gotta be in on. So phase one, Marvel started this thing out May of 2008 with Iron Man. It ended in 2012 with the first Avengers movie. Phase one was 12 hours long of content. Phase two started in May 2013, ended in July 2015. So it's 2 years instead of four there. Still 12 hours of content. So they're, you got to, you know, crunch your time a little bit. We move on to phase three, May 2016, with Captain America Civil War, and ended with Far From Home in July 2019, basically right when the pandemic started. 24 hours of content. So they're doubling it then.
Right.
And this is when they started the 35 hours of content. So that's what I'm calculating, 59 hours right there. And then phase four started at Black Widow and ended at Wakanda Forever, another 16 hours. So you're looking at roughly 7,000 minutes, something like 5 days straight, like nonstop, like not taking a break. I'm talking about it was content solid streaming for 5 days. That's a lot of stuff that people got to be in on. And so if we get to the point where a person can go to the theater and not have to YouTube or Wikipedia a recap of what I got to know before going into this.
Right.
And we can just right. be in on, I like Spider-Man. I like Captain America. I like Thor. I liked Black Panther. You know, there are certain properties I think that it does work with, but this is rough. I mean, and you look at the Bob Iger, the big three Bob Iger properties of Marvel, Star Wars, and Pixar. Mm-hmm. I mean, this might be the first time in MAM history that Disney's in real trouble. I mean, it's bad, guys.
Not to mention ESPN.
Right. I think that a couple of things, because I do want to transition into the movie. I know we've got a time we need to hit here, but I did think that the movie did a good job once we were in the movie of not, like, if you didn't watch the Marvels, I don't think you're missing anything once you get into the movie. Like, yeah, here's a new, it essentially treats Miss Marvel as a new character. Now, you kind of, like, you do that little introduction with her, which I thought was really good. The comic book sketch or sequence where
that was cool.
That's coming to life and stuff. That was a good intro of the character for anyone who didn't watch Miss Marvel, or for people like me who did watch it, but I don't totally remember just a whole lot about it. But that doesn't matter necessarily if you're in, it doesn't matter at all if you're in the camp that's just like, I didn't watch it, and so I'm not going to go watch the movie. You know, right. if you get butts in the seats, they did I thought the movie did a good job of sort of reintroducing that character, and in some ways reintroducing Captain Marvel too, because it's been a while since we've seen her as well. I thought that was a strong point of the film. It's just clear that the marketing part of it didn't work very well at all and didn't get the butts in the seats. Yeah,
and they try to be real smooth with the exposition. Rambo has a lot of lines in the movie that's like, I don't care if I got my powers from going through a witch hex, and that's like, she has to sum up WandaVision and like all her lines, because they want to tell you, oh, you don't have to see that to come see this. It's like, well, I don't know. The entire plot is explaining who these characters are, and it doesn't move forward any, where it's just repeating information for those of you who did actually do your due diligence and watch it. It's just repeated information. And so, it's frustrating. And honestly, as a movie, this was just exactly what you would expect it would be. I mean, this doesn't push the medium forward in any way. I mean, I don't want to say this because I don't think people are this smart. Like, I don't want to think the pandemic happened and everybody got smart, and now nobody likes Marvel movies anymore. Now you got to impress us. You know, like, I'm not going to give us that much credit. But like, I'm kind of glad this failed so that they have
Ferrari's
to look in the mirror.
Ferrari's going to crush it. Ferrari's going to do $900 million.
Right. It may be.
Everyone's just a Michael Mann.
Yeah, it's just like, I need an actual car driving is what I want to see instead of a CG car.
I don't know what it means to be male and in family. Yeah.
But I'm like, when certain things become hits, you know, when Into the Spider-Verse becomes a hit, you know why. It's because it's something unlike anything that's ever been done, you know? So I'm kind of glad this thing failed so that Disney has to look themselves in the mirror and say, why did this fail?
Yeah.
We need to push ourselves further. We can't, I mean, honestly, no joke, they were printing cash. These movies are just copy and paste, cast a different hot person, cast it, you know, get a new director to just literally attach their name. They're not even going to be directing it. And we'll crank three of these out a year, and they make money every time. And holy crap, people are so dumb. Yeah. They keep buying these.
I mean,
and now they're going to have to actually think about it. Maybe
to your point, this is phase four, I believe, of this. This is the Civil War, $1.1 billion. Doctor Strange, $666 million. Guardians 2, $870 million. Spider-Man Homecoming, $878 million. Thor Ragnarok, $850 million. Black Panther, $1.3 billion. Infinity War, $2 plus billion. Ant-Man and the Wasp, $623 million. Captain Marvel, $1.1 billion. Endgame, $2.7 billion. And then Spider-Man Far From Home, $1.1 billion. And then we jump into the, you know, the pandy and things get bad again. No Way Home kind of brings movies back right before Top Gun really brings movies back and gets $1.9 billion. But yeah, to your point, there's so much money just flying around left and right on these things, and now there's not. And so you're gonna have to adjust. And in fairness to Marvel, Disney, Iger, et cetera, so is DC, so is Sony. Sony has, I think, three movies that are gonna. We just got the trailer for Madame Web today, and it's a trailer. And
it's incredible. I can't wait for it.
There's.
Let's just break that down.
They're
going to
feel it next year. Yeah, I mean, they're going to feel it next year, I think, pretty clearly. I would expect Madame Web and Craven, like, they're already being like, hey, we're going to lose so much money on these things. We got to hope
Craven Venom. Craven the Hunter? Hits. Like, who's going to go see that?
No one. It's. Meanwhile, Marvel's sitting out next year. We're getting Deadpool 3, supposedly, next year, and that's about it. I haven't seen the DC slate. I don't know yet where we're going on.
We got Superman next year, don't we? Or it's 2025.
Yeah. I think that's 25.
Yeah, one of the dumbest things I heard, by the way, during the strike was like, and I'm so curious, like, what the reshoots are going to be on that Deadpool 3. Because, like, you know, you got the Wolverine thing. It's fine. Yeah. It's fun. And they're like, oh, yeah, but. Well, before the actor strike, when it was just the writer strike, they're like, yeah, Ryan Reynolds is there, but like he can't improvise, which is like the whole thing. That's what makes right. that unique is that because he's kind of a co-writer on it, but it's just going to be, and they kind of just write from what I understand, pretty boilerplate stuff. And then they riff it, you know, it's kind of almost like an Adam McKay style, the way they make those. And it's just like, well, he can't write because there's a writer strike. So we're just shooting it like straight up. And it's like, yeah, guys, just send everyone home. Like, that's not...
Yeah, there's
not,
no point in this. Yeah. Right.
And then there was, like, an actor strike, like, a month and a half later. So I'm so curious if, like, maybe they were smart enough to be like, let's just shoot action sequences for...
Right, yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but it was just seems so B-unit
weird. B-unit stuff, basically, yeah.
So weird that they... I'm fascinated by that, because that just seemed... That's, like, basically being like, yeah, we're making this Christopher Guest movie during a writer's strike, and none of the actors get into this. So they're just going to walk in and be like, that's a dog, because that's what it says here.
Right.
Apparently, there's bad news coming out of the Captain America one with Harrison Ford. Aren't they doing like multiple months of reshoots on that one too? So,
one knows that that's Captain America. Like they did that show did fine for like a streaming show on one of our 100 streamers, but like,
right?
That's gonna be they're in for a rude awakening again with the mass audience when the people are like, no, like, but that's not Captain America.
Well,
but
no question in. Yeah,
40 episodes on how he is, and it's like, I don't have that.
But, it's...
They're operating as a monoculture brand without any kind of monoculture.
Well, yeah, and that one, I think that one, there's no way you can just be like, all right, we're just going to scrap that one and take it off the slate. You kind of have to do it at this point. You're pot committed, I think. Some of these others, like, I don't believe there's a world where, especially given the Jonathan Majors stuff, which is real, real bad, those Avengers movies are not happening, and those at least are far out enough to where they can kind of come up with a backup plan and figure out something. In some ways, the Jonathan Majors thing is going to kind of be a way for them to have a really good excuse to say, we're going to pivot, when that has a part of it, but a bigger part is like, hey, the Marvels made less than $50 million. Like, we got to do something different. The movies that you have coming up, Fantastic Four and Blade, I don't know much about Thunderbolts. That one also, I guess there's a world. I don't know how far along in pre they are with that one.
There's bad buzz on Blade too. Like the director quit last minute.
Yeah, there's been all kinds of stuff with that one. So it could be a bad movie. I just mean from a marketing standpoint, a new character standpoint, I think Fantastic Four and Blade have a little bit of, there's intrigue there. And then the real thing is they have X-Men coming. It's not just Deadpool. We'll get into that here in a second. But I think they've got to be feeling like X-Men is, if not a fix, then at least is like a salve for what's going on.
If they do it right, it's a whole new run of movies.
Yes.
If they do it. But it's a, you know, that was a tough lift that they pulled off before. And they deserve all the credit for that. But it's you know, not as replicable as they made it seem. And
right.
They got to get it right. Like I texted you guys earlier, and like, it's funny. I'm sitting there going, oh yeah, Pedro Pascal is Reed Richards. That's cool. I'm sitting there. I'm like reading the tweet that went out on Deadline. And then I'm like, because I think about it, I'm like, wait, kind of the future of pop cinema relies right. on him being good right. in that role and the writer being good. It's like the most substantial movie news ever, maybe.
You said this in our text thread, like not very long ago, that would have been a major part of a Comic-Con presentation and all this kind of stuff. And instead it just kind of goes out over Deadline. And that also, I think, is an
indicator
too much
egg in the face of on Disney for that. I mean, the way that 100%. That happens, the way that the whole Patty Jenkins thing went down
with Rogue Squadron.
The way that they would do mm-hmm. all these announcements and have these huge press conferences essentially before they'd even had a script or anything. I think I'm convinced the only reason Blade is happening is because of the Comic-Con moment when he walked out there with the hat. Like, sure. if that had not happened, they could have shelved that thing. It didn't work.
Well, but I think
the fact that was such a public
else,
thing, like they right. can't, they have to make it now.
I mean, I think that they've lost everyone else along the way besides Mahershala Ali. So if he walks, then there's got to be at least somebody in the room who's like, it'd be really great if Mahershala just pulled out at this point and just said, you know, I don't want to do this because we can knock this one off. I do think that there's some cultural intrigue with that movie that it'll get a bump on that. I mean, if you're really... The idea, like, you're not going to stop making some superhero projects. I don't think that it's going to end overnight. I do think you need to be more selective. I would say that they have an out or a way of kind of, again, like sort of patching, if not fixing this with X-Men and potentially Fantastic Four coming. I would stop doing anything within this.
Yeah.
The branches of the universe that we have already explored ad nauseum in these 33 movies.
Or stuff of people.
Besides Spider-Man, obviously. But
stuff I didn't know about before 2008. Like, you know, when that was the miracle they pulled off. Is like the people like me that are not comic people, you got me to care about, you know, Hawkeye. Not really, but mm-hmm. other stuff, you know, Thor, you know. I thought mm-hmm. Thor was a mythological, I mean, he is too, but like I didn't know that was, you know.
Right.
And all of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, this is cool. But I did know Captain America and I did know some of the others. And it's like, that's, again, go back to the ones you haven't done on that. Like they are with Fantastic Four and X-Men. I know those passes the like mass audience test where at least if they're good, people will go to them. If they're good, part's big, but.
Right. Yep. I agree. Let's talk about the movie itself. And we go to you, Richard, because I know you got to bounce out here in a bit. Kind of general thoughts on the Marvels.
Yeah. This goes into. I've had this problem since the first one, and even in Endgame stuff. I don't like Brie Larson in this role for some reason. I like her in other things. I don't find the role to be particularly like badly. For some reason, the actor and the role do not meet for me. I find it stilted the whole time. So it operates from a place for me. It's a very personal taste thing. I don't know what it is. It's almost like a musical rhythm thing. I just always think it's off, and so. It all of these, when they feature her or feature this character a lot, operates from a deficit for me, that has to be kind of overcome. This had not overcome it too much. I didn't think it was like a mess by any means. It didn't deserve to be like lampooned, you know. DaCosta's, again, we kind of talk about what do the directors do on these as part of this overall Feige versus. But DaCosta's great. You know, we loved Candyman and all that. But yeah, I honestly kind of went in expected to be kind of lost by it because of the Marvels thing. I wasn't. They did a perfectly fine job doing it, but I did not enjoy myself at all. I found it to just be really flat and like just kind of, I don't like the aesthetic that they're in right now. That also operates a place from deficit for me. It's like, it's a lot to overcome there.
It's
too.
A weird kind of like Power Rangers.
Yeah.
A TV show feeling. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the Skrull characters. Maybe it's the lighting that they're using, but there's something kind of soap opera-y about the way that this was shot. I don't know. I'm with you there, Richard.
Yeah. So I didn't love this. I did. It's not the worst movie of the year by any means, but it's a very mediocre, what I would have expected from like a comic book movie in 2007 before everything changed.
I honestly was thinking about that exact same thing. I was like, man, what year is this? 2023? Have they really pushed this thing that far at all in 25 years? I mean, I'm thinking back to like X-Men, the first X-Men movie. Have they, for what this is, for what X-Men was, would you think that there would be 25 years of filmmaking between those? No, absolutely not. And that's disappointing. Mm. So maybe this is a situation where it's like, yeah, this is not, when you water it down, they're watering down their own product with some of these shows by putting them on TV, because then it makes the movies look like TV quality, because they see this on TV every day. So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a catch 22 that they've put themselves in. It's a real tough, like, you want to build a universe, but you don't want to overdo it. You want to have consistent releases, but you don't want to overdo it. You know, I mean, it's really tough. I mean, and they found the balance for so long. I mean, literally probably until 2020, we come in on here every movie like, well, Marvel did it again. Really fun movie, made a ton of money. Really, you know, probably better than it should have been. And, you know, pushes this thing forward and here's what we can expect. I mean, that was the review every single time. And now it's like, I don't know, every single time.
Sure. I think that, so I like this. I think I like this more than both of y'all did. Cause Iger's check cash. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness. No, I had a good time with this. I think part of the deal for these movies moving forward, and this is a tricky deal, because they sort of set the bar, like, for, to your point, Kent, for many years when we come in here and talk about these movies, we would talk about how they'd kind of raise the bar or they'd progress the story. Or one of my big things has been with, as somebody who loves blockbuster popcorny kind of movies, I love when a blockbuster popcorn movie can also be like a really high quality film too. And you see that with some of the Avengers movies. You've seen that along the lines with several of these movies, Guardians and Black Panther and Spider-Man. They sort of have backed themselves into a corner in some ways of, for many, many years, we're making popcorn movies that not only resonate culturally, but actually are, for as much as they are and can be cookie cutter, they are pretty dang quality movies for the most part, most of them, or at least enough of them. I think we're kind of at the point now where I'm like, when I go in to see this, most of these movies at this point, and it's on them to change this if they want to. But I think that there's something to be said for, I went to the movies with my family and I had a good time. It was under 2 hours. We laughed. We, you know, I enjoyed myself. And then we went home, and that was the end of it. Now, it's hard. I think it's really hard. One of the things they're battling against, I think, is the challenge of transitioning away from, we've spent 15 years where every one of these movies, every one of these characters, et cetera, mattered to this overall huge story. And now, it's not that Captain Marvel doesn't matter to the overarching story. Obviously, she does. It's that, for this movie in and of itself, really is just, for me, was just like, hey, I'm just having fun at the theater. That's it. And I don't really care how Captain Marvel and Miss Marvel and whoever else connect to the rest of this, because to your point that you said kind of at the outset, Richard, like, I kind of already closed that book, you know, like I'm kind of moved on, and it was awesome. I love Endgame. I think it's one of the best action comic book movies of ever. But that kind of also ended it. And so for me, I think for the studio, trying to find the balance between, let's just make a movie that will be enjoyable and fun and also will make money, which they obviously missed pretty big on that one, versus we have to make sure that everything connects to 1,000 different points is going to be tricky. And again, maybe that's the benefit of being able to say, all right, now we're moving to X-Men, Fantastic Four, et cetera. Just as a movie standing on its own, you're absolutely right. It does not progress the story at all. Just as a movie on its own, I had a good time with it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was really enjoyable. I'm with you, Richard, in that there is something that's a little off to me with the Captain Marvel character, with the way that I think she is such a good actor. And sometimes I wonder if it's just talent-wise, she's better suited as
doing indie movies.
Dramatic indie actor, serious actor at times. It's not that she's not funny. She can be. She has good timing. All these things. It's just she always seems like 5% uncomfortable to me. And
5% uncomfortable and 5% disdainful of the entire process on screen. Which, by the way, I'm sure it's like tedious and all.
Sure.
Again, her and anything else sign me up. Like it's not, and it's, I wouldn't even say she's bad in it. It's just off. Mm-hmm. There's something like, it almost feels like AI Brie Larson as Captain Marvel to me. Like, it's just like, there's something, there's a soul to it that's missing.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. I liked Kamala. I thought the Marvels was pretty solid. I enjoyed it enough. Wasn't like A+, but it was B+ for me. I thought she was a very good addition. To me, the moments where Captain Marvel worked the best was when she is in combination with Ms. Marvel and Monica Rambeau. I don't know that character's name. I don't know that they ever said her super secret.
They always hinted at. I mean, they tease it a lot. It's a joke throughout the movie. I don't know if they ever revealed it or not.
Okay. Good deal. Then I didn't miss that. Good. Or we all three missed it. I don't know. But I thought that the combo with Iman Vellani, I found her, I know some people maybe found her a little bit obnoxious. I thought she was really, really quite pretty fun and good. And she matched the tone of the movie to me better than Captain Marvel did, than Brie Larson did for me. I don't know. Can't wear you out with that.
Yeah, it felt more like the Ms. Marvel movie than it did Captain Marvel 2. And that's fine. Only problem with Ms. Marvel, huge overshirt offender. I mean, she's falling from the sky and the overshirt is still barely flapping in the wind. I mean,
no file scene thing. Though, so at least there's that.
No, there were some for sure. Remember when she had the iPad and she was like, is this the new iPad, true. Bro? Damn,
forgot about the iPad. I only think of analog
files. My doc scenes. Sheet, my
bad,
bro.
My bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, you know, no, she's fine. There was, I think the emotional stuff that worked well for me was the Rambo and Captain Marvel. Like, you never came back. You left us. That was a cool sequence. The song and dance number on Aladdin was it was like scuttlebutt bad. I couldn't.
I'm the opposite. I'm the opposite. I love that. Brian, I thought it was great.
Your music?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I know.
Oh,
I know. Maybe
my gosh,
this is,
dude.
This is 40. I don't know. Maybe this is the difference.
I'm just gonna make you a playlist. I thought it was really that song funny. And Scuttlebutt on rotation, and see if it, you know, throw it out on Guantanamo.
Bit. I enjoyed it. That felt to me like something that would have fit in Vergonk, or I don't know, maybe the better Guardians stuff or something like that.
I can see what they were going for, but I thought the idea of a culture that sings everything. This was not the movie for that. Yeah. I know what you're talking about though. Like there is, James Gunn does do that stuff. You're right. Pretty well.
So, you know, somebody in the Discord said it felt like a Star Trek episode. And I agree with that. I liked that. I think that was meant as a criticism, but I enjoyed that. I thought it was a fun bit. I think we should be having more fun with these movies. I think that's probably why I liked,
I'm all for fun. I just thought the song was bad. Like the music was
I'm,
bad.
I
like,
get
I'm
that.
All for
it. Yeah. I tell you, when that came through, I was like, this is going to be hot in the Discord. People are going to, there's going to be lots of opinions on this thing and on the episode. But I think that's probably why Kamala works for me so well here, is because I think she matches the vibe of what the movie's kind of going for. And not that, again, it's not a Brie Larson performance thing. It's the character just has never totally felt comfortable on screen. I feel like we're two movies in on the Captain Marvel branch, and she's been in three others or whatever, and I still don't totally get, I still don't totally know that character all that well. And I think there's a scale of powers issue with her too. Sometimes it's mm-hmm. it's like feels like she can take on Thanos by herself at the end of Endgame, and then in this she's kind of getting whooped by one of the worst villains that this series has produced with like a staff. And I just, I don't know, it's kind of odd on that play, on that front. But yeah, to your point, Kent, in a lot of ways this feels closer to a Miss Marvel movie than a Captain Marvel movie. And that's not a bad thing. It's just, it's not what this was sort of billed at, I feel like, or what the expectation was on that front.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you've got, we've seen this dynamic sort of played out in the other phases with Iron Man and Spider-Man, how you have mm-hmm. this character that is kind of the face of the Avengers at this time. And
mm-hmm.
it's Captain Marvel here. It was Iron Man then. And you've got this character that really wants to be a part of it in Spider-Man and Miss Marvel. And then you've got mm-hmm. this other character in Rambo and in kind of the Hulk or Captain America that really doesn't want to be involved and is just kind of mm-hmm. thrown into the mm-hmm. circumstance. Right. So we've seen that dynamic play out. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe like refresh the template. Like these are a template that they have a writer's room, and I'm sure they have things that they reuse and character arcs and things that they, you know, it rhymes. It's like poetry. It rhymes. you know, shake it up a little bit. Do something different. Right. Change up the formula, the algorithm that they were working to make these things successful.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a point in time where if it was Marvel Studios, it were making $100 million if it was good or bad. Opening weekend. And it's just not like that anymore. And so they're going to have to put more thought and time and effort into convincing us again. Yeah. And on
totally agree.
Rumbling side of things, I have heard a rumbling that they're just throwing cash at Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans to come back.
It's going to happen. I mean, it's inevitable at this point. I mean, we've been saying for years that DC needs to just take a break, needs to scrap it, start over, take a breather where there aren't any superhero movies you do need to be like sort of non-canon films or stuff that's not going to necessarily work into the timeline. Like cleanse the palette for a little while, then come back with a better plan. My worry is that you are going to see RDJ and Evans and whoever else back by like 2026. And I think that's a mistake. It may not be a mistake in the short term to like fix cash problems. But I think it's a mistake long term.
Well, is it a mistake with back, what happened with,
it's gotta be a little later.
I think it's
gotta
like,
have some space.
I think, I mean, they had, honestly, Brian, they had banked so much of the future of this franchise on A, Chadwick Boseman and Black Panther.
Yeah, that one hurts. And that's B, a big part of this.
Jonathan thing Majors.
That, yeah.
The entire second arc was going to be him. I mean, it's not just like, oh, we got to save face for money or financially. Right. It's like, we got to set the story right again. We got to center this thing back where we were. And the only thing to maybe do that might be Robert Downey Jr. in some capacity. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's Chris Evans. I really felt like Avengers was more of a Cap property than an Iron Man property. But, you know, so I think either of those characters could work. They got to figure out a way to ground this. And maybe Nick Fury is the answer in some way. I don't know. But they got to right the ship somehow. They got to get it back on track.
Right. Again, I would say the way to do that is X-Men and maybe Fantastic Four. Just give it a breather. But yeah, I mean, the Chadwick thing is a huge part of all this that kind of gets a little bit lost in the mix of how important Black Panther and Chadwick Boseman, the actor, were to the future of this whole thing. And that's, you know, such a tragic loss. Obviously, much, much more tragic loss for his family and people who actually were, you know, that knew him, but is a loss to the studio and to the audiences and to the structure of this thing. He was a major important part of what was expected to happen.
So like if Kevin Feige came out and said, you know, next Disney or next Comic-Con next year. He comes out and says, hey, just so you know, we're changing some things around. As you can tell, some things have happened that have been unexpected. Like, if he just had a come to Jesus meeting with the MCU fans and said,
I think that would be, I think he should. I
we
think
planned this thing out in basically in 2018, 2019 for the next 10 years. A lot of things happened. And so we're going to have to change some things around. Hope you don't mind.
Yeah, I don't.
I think people would get that. They just need to
100%. I think that's 100% what should happen. I don't think you even have to say, hey, we had some deaths. We had this awful crap with majors, blah, 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 blah. I think you just have to say, hey, we're going to face this, you know, we're going to be honest about things have changed since we set this plan. We're going to reset the plan. We're going to make sure we do things right. You know, we want to do things right by the audience, by the folks that are coming to see these movies. And obviously everyone will in the back of their mind say, I mean, what you really mean is that you're going to do right by your shareholders and try to make as much money as possible. But that's what their job is. Yeah. So, but we can be, I think an honest moment of, hey, we're going to change things up is, I would say is borderline required at this point, to kind of change because they aren't making a Kang movie. It's not going to happen. So if your end game on all this is these two Avengers movies that now either are not going to happen or are certainly not going to happen in the way that they were intended to happen when it was announced, then it's not only okay, I think it should be encouraged, if not required, to say, yeah, we're going to come out and face it and say, yeah, we're going to change things. We're going to do something different here. I'm with you, Cam. I mean, eventually the original cast and crew, they're coming back. It's going to happen. It's inevitable, but I don't think that it is. I think there are ways that you can fix stuff or stall that process or, you know, put it out a little bit further without having to jump right.
And I don't think it's like out of desperation either. I think like Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans want to come back. I think they're like, yeah, I miss doing it.
They both are kind of like, man, I kind of miss that. Yeah. I mean, you know, the Chris Evans experience, I don't think is going great post Marvel.
Yeah, Lightyear.
You know. We all saw Doolittle, so it's. I think there's some, when there's the Oscar something this to, year, though. To make that. That's true.
But then if he wins the Oscar, what else does he have left to accomplish outside of Marvel? So it's like just go back to making money, you know?
Sure. Yeah, he's just gone. I feel like Evans is more likely than Downey, just because. I mean, Downey may just want to do it for love of the game, but that guy's made so much money off those things, like
right. Right, right.
I don't think there's a number that could get him back if he doesn't want to. But he may just be like you said, he may just miss being a huge tier one star, which like weirdly went away for all those people the minute the game ended.
Yeah, no question. All right. Well, I know we talked more about the business and the studio than we have about the movie, but I think that might be a little bit indicative of the movie. I had a good time with it. I'm ready to grade it. I don't know if you guys are done.
Sure. Yeah, the only thing else I had was the scroll Kree thing.
It's not fun. I'm not in on it.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. There was at least with the Infinity Stones, I could follow what was going on.
Yep.
Kang is obviously not going anywhere, and I hope this doesn't go anywhere. So maybe they got to find like another antagonist of this series. Or whatever, you know,
new Kang.
Villains or whatever, but
yeah. Kang hurts, man. You know, that's
my favorite Shin song. New Kang.
New Kang. There we go. I totally. All right. Let's grade this and get out of here. RB, going to you first.
I'm going to give this just a straight down the middle C.
Okay. Kent, what about you?
Yeah, I'm not that low on it. I did think it was perfectly fine. It's not any lower quality than the other Marvel movies. Just the same. Mm-hmm. They're just another one, you know? So I'll go B- on it. Brian.
Okay. Yeah, I'm higher than y'all. I mean, I had a good time with it. I don't know where this leaves us as far as the, I mean, we've talked about that quite a bit, but just as a, just standalone, I like what Nia DaCosta is doing. I think she's got, she's got something, and there's, we didn't even talk about like that Candyman movie is so freaking good. It creeps me out so much, but it's so good. She's gonna do lots of great stuff, I think, moving forward. And I enjoy the cons, like the Marvel family is a lot of fun. I also thought, by the way, I thought It felt like Samuel L. Jackson was having fun in a movie for the first time in a really long time. And that was kind of cool. It was kind of cool to see him be fun. I don't know if engaged is the right word, but he seemed to be having a good time.
They filmed his parts during his Magic Johnson vacation. With yeah. So he just had a good move. He just came off a beat.
Right. Yeah, just, it's perfect.
Yeah, been hanging out with Cookie time. And Magic and the whole crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the great all-time bits is Jimmy Kimmel photoshopping himself into those
right
photos every year. And people always think like, so you go on vacation with Magic, right?
Yes. No, buddy. Yeah. I dig that. Also, it had a Beastie Boys song, so that gets it a bump as well. Fair. I'll give it... I'm between a B plus and an A minus. I'll be super generous today and give it an A minus. That may come down when end of the year considerations, but I had a good time with it. And I don't know where we're going from here, but for just that 2 hours, and oh, by the way, hour 45.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, that was awesome.
Love that. That was a good time.
That you're that right. That time. And Beastie Boys all changed my grade to a C plus.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay, we're on a crunch today, so we're not gonna do weekly recommends tonight. We'll move on. This week in the Discord, not the Discord, in the VIP, you can get me and Batman Shane talking about It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. Maybe there was too many Mads in there, I'm not really sure, but the extra Mad is for Mad About Movies. Boom, got him. If you want to listen to that, you want to listen to all of our throwbacks, retrospectives, bonus episodes, et cetera, et cetera. You can do that for $5 a month. Go to madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP. Sign up for that VIP. Get access to all of those episodes. We're talking hundreds of episodes in our back catalog at this point. A new episode pretty much every month. All kinds of bonus features, including access to our very exclusive Discord. You can talk with movie lovers around the world all day long if you would like to. And like once every 6 months, Richard pops in there too. So it's a good time.
What's up?
If you happen to be in the Discord on the day Richard decides to make an appearance,
I can't bookmark it on my work computer anymore, so I don't ever think to do it.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I have to. I used to be better at it.
Got to get it on Google Glass, right?
Exactly. Like I'll be in there.
It'll be good. All right, cool. Next week, I believe next week's episode is going to be David Fincher's The Killer, which is on Netflix now. You can check that out. And when we get back from Thanksgiving break, we'll do an episode on the new Hunger Games, and then lots of fun stuff coming on the main feed and the VIP over the last few weeks of the year. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. We'll see you at the cinema. Bye.
Hey baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
They're making me ya-ya. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
They're calling again.